Holy God, appear to us today. Amen. Emphasao. Emphasao. Say it with me. Emphasao. One more time. Emphasao. We'll come back to that. But first, we need to deal with Thomas. Doubting Thomas. It's unfortunate. It's like the punchline of a bad joke. It's like an internet meme or a trope. Oh, at least I'm not a doubting Thomas, we say, hesitant and uncertain, not sure of what it might be. Except that's not what this story is even about. Thomas really is a stand-in for us. He's no different than the rest of the disciples. They want to see just like he does. But we'll come back to that too. First, we have to go just before this passage to the gospel we heard read at the vigil. The verses right before what we heard today, we find Mary Magdalene in the garden with Jesus. And Mary encounters the risen Christ. And Jesus says to her, "Go. Go and tell the disciples, go and tell the brothers, go and tell them that you have seen the Lord." And she does. She goes, she says to them, "I have seen the Lord." This is not "Christ is risen, Christ is risen indeed, hallelujah." This is a firsthand account. This isn't third person. This isn't abstract. This is, "I have firsthand knowledge of the risen Jesus." We need to listen to the women, because apparently the disciples don't. Because when we meet the disciples today, they're in a locked room, afraid, scared of the religious authorities. Now, we don't know why exactly they're afraid. Maybe they're afraid because they're afraid that they'll be accused of moving the body. They'll be afraid of perpetrating a fake resurrection, purveyors of fake news, alternative facts. Or maybe the disciples do believe Jesus or Mary, except they're afraid of what that might mean. That they might be swept up in the condemnation that led Jesus to the cross, and that they might face the same fate. Whatever the case, they're scared. The doors are locked. Whatever is going on outside of those four walls, they don't want to deal with it. Sound familiar? And yet, in the midst of their fear and uncertainty, Jesus shows up in the midst of them. Now, it doesn't say that Jesus used his magical divine skeleton key and unlocked the door. It doesn't say that Jesus passed through a wall like some sort of first century superhero. Jesus just appears in the midst of them. Now, maybe the disciples shouldn't be too surprised. It wasn't but a few chapters earlier that Jesus says, "I am the door." I am the way, the truth, the life, the good shepherd. He's the door. It doesn't matter if the doors are locked when he is the door. And so he appears among them. And the very first thing he says is, peace to you. Peace to you. And then he commissions them and he breathes into them. Now, in the translation we heard this morning, it says he breathes on them, which isn't quite right. It really is he breathes into them, which brings us back to emphasao. Emphasao. It means to breathe into. Now, I'd like you to indulge me for a moment and take one hand and put it on your chest. And the other hand just in front of your mouth. And I'd like to invite us to take three deep, slow breaths together, feeling the rising and falling of your chest, the breath coming in and out of your body. Emphasao. Now, this word, this root Greek verb, is the same word that we find in Genesis 2. In the Greek translation of the Old Testament, the Septuagint, when God forms humanity in the dust and breathes into us. But then it's also the root word, it's also what we find in Ezekiel 37 when God appears to Ezekiel in the vision of the valley of dry bones and says, prophet, prophesy to the breath, give these bones new life. Emphasao. And that's what we find in John's gospel. When Jesus appears among his disciples and breathes into them. Jesus, fully embodied, marks in his hands a wound in his side in the middle of his followers, breathing into them. Departing, imparting, infusing the same spirit that was in him in to them. Jesus, the sight of the resurrection, the firstborn of creation, the firstborn of the dead, breathes himself into his disciples. But Thomas wasn't there. Thomas wasn't there. We don't know where Thomas was, but he wasn't with them. And so, 8 days later, they're gathered again, afraid again, doors locked again. Only this time, Thomas is with them. Thomas, the stand-in for us. And Jesus again appears in the midst of them. And he says, peace to you. Now, Thomas had an agenda. He had some expectations, right? I need to put my fingers in his hands and my hand thrusted into his side. He wanted a visceral connection with Jesus. Experiential knowledge, tangible proof. And yet, when Jesus shows up, our text doesn't say that Thomas did that. Just seeing Jesus was enough. Thomas proclaims, he confesses, "My Lord and my God." But the gospel writer anticipates us. The very next thing the gospel tells us is, "Disciples, that's great." This is my translation. "That's great that you believe because you've seen. But blessed are those who believe and yet have not seen." And so whenever we encounter the risen Christ, whether that's in the breaking of the bread, in the preaching of the word, in the community of God's people, in the beauty of creation, the touch of a loved one, the whispered confession of a child, the Spirit of Christ infuses us. We become the site of the resurrection. We become Easter people. And so, sisters and brothers, where do you need to encounter the risen Jesus today? Where in your life are you needing something more? Some infusion of God's breath of the new creation. And so may we rest in the breath of God. May we receive the Spirit of Jesus. And may the new creation be born in us.